Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to the latest episode of Biblioscapes in Discussion. Today, I've got the great pleasure of being joined by photographer Sally Mason. Good evening, Sally.
Good evening, Ewan, and thank you very much for inviting me.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for taking the time to chat to me this evening. Obviously, we're here to talk about your recent book, Stillness in Motion. But before we get into talking about that, Sally, it'd be great if you could give everyone a kind of a background intro to your photographic journey.
Yes, well, my photographic journey has been quite a long and uneventful one, really. with a sort of a lot going on in the last 4 years. To sort of start at the beginning, I grew up in the outskirts of London and was fortunate enough to have both the countryside and the city close at hand, which was great as a teenager growing up. And I sort of grew up to really love both the city and the countryside. I can't really recall a specific moment that I became interested in photography. My father always had a camera, but he only used it for, family snaps and holidays. But I guess it was a formative presence. It was always there. I bought my first camera when I was 15, a film camera, Praktika, and I immediately was hooked. I loved it, and I taught myself all the technical aspects and bought books, etc. And really just again sort of used it to document what was going on in my life, my friends, events, music festivals and the like. Later my own travels overseas. I grew up in the 60s, believe it or not. That was there was a lot of change going on there, both sort of politically and culturally. I was hugely influenced by that. And I actually had a lot of freedom, and that freedom fueled a desire to travel. And travel became a big part of my life, and the camera was my constant companion on all my travels. So, I'd come back with dozens and dozens of rolls of exposed film, and always be very eager to get them all printed up. But then sort of fast forward to, I guess, the 1980s, and I started to appreciate art photography more. And I converted a spare room into a dark room, and I taught myself how to process and print. And I was only shooting black and white at that time, and loved the black and white. And I endlessly experimented with different techniques, both photographically and in the dark room, techniques like photograms and solarization and multiple exposures. And that was a period, a real period of learning and growth. And it was fabulous. I really, really enjoyed that period. But at the same time, my career was starting to take off. And I was in film production by then. And anyone who knows anything about film production will know that it's very long and unsociable hours. So unfortunately, photography got put on the back burner. And really, for the next 30 plus years, my career took over. And although I still took photographs and I was still very passionate about photography, it wasn't leading the charge. My career had taken over. So fast forward again then to 2020, and I was made redundant. It was in the middle of COVID, in I think it was the second lockdown.
So, yeah.
And I was at a crossroads of my life then. I'm sort of, not no spring chicken really. It was, to lose my job at that point was really hard, both sort of, professionally and personally. And I was really left with the question, well, what now? And within a week, I had bought a new camera. And soon after that, I had moved out of London permanently.
Right.
And then that was it. I was in the landscape. I was in the, in the countryside. And we were in lockdown at the time, so I couldn't do any traveling. So, like so many other people, or so many other photographers in particular, I was looking to try and interpret the same places in ways,
Yes.
and so I started moving the camera and using long exposures. And really, it sort of all started from that moment in 2020, and I haven't looked back since, and it's just I've just developed from there. So really, although I've been photographing all my life, it's really only in the last 4 years that I've gone into it on in a full-time basis.
And really driven that passion forward. And I suppose the body of work that you present in the book is kind of a culmination of the last 4 years' journey for you.
Oh, it absolutely is, yes. In fact, I think it's really 3 years in the
Right.
book. So yes, it yeah.
And how when you kind of started your new photographic journey, I'm sure at some point like your previous experiences would have come back, not necessarily printing in on the on film, but digital format obviously. But at what point did you kind of how did you approach the start? Where it was out doing traditional landscape, more traditional landscape shots to begin with, and then progressing, because obviously there's some more traditional shots, but then within the book there's a lot of ICM, a lot of multiple exposures, long
Yeah.
exposures, and a real variety of styles all brought together and similar themes and subjects.
Yes. I to be honest, I didn't go out and do traditional photography. I immediately wanted to experiment. I immediately wanted to do something different. And I didn't really know what I was doing when I started with the camera movement. In fact, I'd never heard of ICM. It was only some time later, after I had posted, I don't know, two or three images on social, and someone had commented, ICM question mark, and I went, what's that? And so I googled it, and I went, oh my God, it's a
It's a
thing.
thing, yeah.
But I had no idea it was a thing at that stage. So no, I was I've always been interested in abstractions and light and shade, and just and the intimate landscape. So no, I definitely went straight into trying to interpret things in a different way.
And where the particular, obviously, when you're starting in lockdown, you're kind of res everyone was limited and restricted to what they could find first in their back garden,
Absolutely.
and then more so in a in the same 1 mile route that they walked every single day. Were there certain things that you found yourself drawn to, and particular top or particular subject matters that you found began to work quite well for the style that you were looking at?
Well, when I first started, the thing that really took me was grasses, long grasses, meadows. And that was quite interesting because that was actually the subject moving rather than the camera moving. So I was doing a bit of both at the same time. But I got completely enthralled with meadow grasses, and I could spend, and still can, to be honest, I can spend hours and hours and hours in a meadow just moving. You know, I will literally, I sort of feel like I sort of almost come as one with the landscape. And I'm an ex. I trained as a dancer
Right.
many years ago, and I feel like I'm in a dance, if
Okay.
that's
Yeah,
the
that
case.
makes sense. Yep.
And yeah, I can spend a very long time, and I get to that point where we know it, where you're so immersed in the landscape and in the moment that you know you lose yourself, and you can lose an hour just shooting one shot, you know.
Yeah.
So yes, grasses were definitely, and I say, and as I say, still are a favourite of mine.
Yeah, and you get lovely tonal separation as well with the different grasses, particularly when you're introducing the sky as well. But I can imagine it's a subject much like a lot of what you're doing, which ends up with quite a significant number of shots that you have to filter through. So a very different approach than when you're shooting film, and you know that every single shot is costing you money.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, I can shoot a lot of photographs, and that's the same with ICM. But
And so get.
I was just going to say, but you know, the more I do it, the more I know what works and what doesn't work. You know, and it was more at the beginning when I was experimenting that, you know, I could take 100 images to get one. But now I know what works best in terms of subject matter, what movements work best, and so obviously my ratio is much lower now.
Yeah, well, that's, and I think it's a good point. I think everyone, if you begin to work within certain parameters and restrictions, I for one shoot square, black and white, and that's all I've done now for a number of years. And I now begin to know that when I'm going out, certain images work and certain things don't work. So you kind of save a few shuts of the clicker, shuts or clicks of the shutter. I'm not shooting nearly as many shots as you are, mind you, but you do.
No,
You
but
begin. You begin. Your eyes begin to tone in and tune into what works for the style that you're particularly
oh,
looking for,
absolutely,
be it
yeah.
subject tones, colors, and also just the movement as well. You kind of know that this will work, and obviously the grasses you're really drawn to. But I think it's some of the work that I really love is your floral work. But also the multiple exposures of your trees, which have such a painterly feel to them from my own personal perspective.
Yes, well, thank you for that. A lot of people say that actually, that they painterly feel, and I think that is the certainly in the multiple exposures, it's the layering I think that gives it that painterly feel. But then also, I think the ICM images, a lot of people say they have a painterly feel, and that's sort of much more sort of blurring. So I think that feel comes from different aspects, from layering in the multiple exposures and the blurring in the ICM. But yeah, the multiple exposures of the trees, yeah, I take about eight different images, and then
Yeah,
layer them up.
layer them all up. And I suppose you, as you say, you'll find certain trees, particular types of trees, will begin to work better than others might do as well.
Oh, completely, yes. You've got to have quite a good structure in the tree. And also the biggest thing is having a tree that is on its own. Of course, if you've got a busy background, it just looks rubbish. So you've got to have a cleanish background and something, you know, clean in the front as well. And I don't know about what it's like where you live, but certainly I find it really hard to find single trees on their own.
Yeah, there's not too many. I like single trees, but for a very different reason in terms of very minimal and the tree by itself
Yes.
with no movement. But it just shows you that actually an entirely different style of photography, the lone tree still plays such an important part. And to be honest, we probably just need to be armed with axes and just trying to do a bit of thinning here and there to get some trees that work. But I agree with you entirely. It's like the messy background, foregrounds, etc. They kind of really put me off my own particular type of photography, and I'll see trees. I think, yeah, that looks great, but there'll be a couple of bits and pieces that I know, and I'm not one for cloning stuff out, so I just don't bother taking the shot because I know they'll just bug me every time I look at it. So,
Yeah, absolutely. I'm exactly the same. Yeah.
and so where does the title Stillness in Motion come from? And the meaning behind it from your perspective, because I'm sure it has different meanings to everyone who's kind of looking through your work.
Yeah. Well, I didn't just land on it. I did actually, well, I say I didn't just land on it. I came up with
Yeah, several options.
several options, and then sort of read through them all and just went, yeah, that's it. And I think really it comes from obviously the motion is the fact that I use a lot of motion in my work, whether it is the camera moving or the subject moving.
Yes.
And the stillness is really my own emotional place when I'm in the landscape. I do feel an immense stillness, and it is going back to what I was saying when I'm, in a field of grasses. It's that sort of moment where you, where everything else disappears, and you just feel a real inner calm.
Yeah.
I think, I hear a lot of photographers talk about this when they're immersed in the landscape. And it's very real, and it's yeah, it's just a fantastic feeling. So
Yeah.
that's where the name comes from. It's my own inner stillness with the motion that I'm producing in my work.
Yeah. And how did just obviously, the vast, I think there's maybe one or two that are fairly monochromatic photographs there, but the majority are all very much color. So how does that kind of, obviously, when you talked about earlier, you're going back to your youth when you were shooting black and white film, how do you think that has maybe influenced, or have you tried your work more in monochrome and just found that the colors really add a different layer and level to it?
Well, this is an interesting question because I'm really hankering after doing more black and white at the moment. So, but it's interesting. I do want to do a lot more black and white.
It's the
But
best.
my yeah, it is. And when I did it way back in the 80s, I loved it. I cannot express how much I loved it. And books I buy are often black and white. Like a couple of the books I've got here are a black and white, maybe at least two. So yes, but it's funny when I go out into the landscape and I come back with imagery, I see it in color, and I do try to occasionally
Convert it.
convert to black and white. And sometimes it works a treat, it works perfectly. But other times, and most of the time it seems, and I don't know why, I prefer it in color. But I think I'm going to make a real concerted effort to go out with the view of shooting in black and white just at the beginning, rather than converting it once you get home.
I can imagine looking through certain. I think some of your the flora images, I think some of them could work quite nicely. Just maybe a bit more simpler structure to some of them. Whether they do, I don't know. But yeah, it'd be fascinating to see how well you can convert it. Because yeah, there's a lot of images that are obviously very busy with the movement and. then it maybe it, I can imagine it does become quite challenging to get it to work. But
And
and
you've got to have the right tonal values as
yeah.
well. Otherwise, it just can go all grey. You know, you've
Yeah,
got to have
it's flat.
you've got to have your lights and shades. And
Yeah.
you know, I think it's better to, well, I feel I would prefer to go out with a view of shooting black and white and select subject matter that I think works for black and white rather than just, you know, converting when I get back.
Yeah. And when it came to kind of selecting images for the book and kind of the narrative you wanted to tell about it, what were the key factors and key things that you wanted to get across with what you were shown?
Well, I suppose really the title of the book, Stillness in Motion. I had, I didn't have a huge amount of work because you know I'd been only been doing it for 3 years, so it wasn't as though I had a lot to choose from. But I wanted to show some diversity. I didn't want it all to be the same thing, and that's something that I have I've really wanted to do is to not stick to a particular subject matter. I've enjoyed shooting, you know, the seascapes and woods and, as you say, floral and landscapes. And so I wanted a variety in the book, and I already had a website and where I put collections together. So I selected images from all of those collections, and really it was then just, you know, the sequencing of those collections within the book.
No, it's I really like how it's not just pigeonholed into one subject. As you say, there's the total variety of the trees, the woodlands, and then the kind of the landscape and the seascapes as well, which I think makes for a wonderful collection. I really like the fact that you've grouped everything together nicely in the collections, and then everything's been really nicely sequenced through. I noticed that I think that is it trees is quite a quite a
Dog.
sig is quite a significant
Among trees, it
yeah
is.
amongst trees is quite a significant collection. Obviously a big fan of trees, or either that or you found more solo trees than you thought existed.
Well, what also happened with trees is, and some of them are in here. I started to work, which I'm. It's like just an ongoing project, which just evolved, is my sort of Zen nature work, which is these branches. It's just branches against a different background. And so some of those are in the amongst trees section. And I had, you know, I as I say, I had started that project when the book began. So I wanted some of those in there, so that's why that's quite a sort of heavy section. But I do love trees. I mean, who doesn't love a tree?
Absolutely, and it just shows that even in that chapter, the variety of shots that you variety of shots and kind of the compositions that you've got down to very intimate parts of just the single branch coming across or multiple branches coming across with a nice kind of like different background as well as you're kind of layering things up.
Yes, those ones with the backgrounds, it sort of got a slight you know, Japanese print feel. And I'm still really enjoying working on that on those images. I've got sort of many more now actually that aren't in the book, but yeah, so there's quite a variety in that section.
And have you found from kind of the first 3 4 years of your photographic journey that there's been, as you say, one project there is kind of like the branches and over the shots. Have you found your work begin to evolve and you're finding now images within the wider images that you were previously capturing, if that makes any sense?
No, I'm not sure I do
Well,
understand.
I suppose obviously you've started by shooting, say, the fuller size of the tree. Now you're beginning to look at just, I suppose, the elements of the branches and how
Oh, I
they
see.
interact.
Yes. Yes, and that sort of has happened as well with seascapes, where I certainly began with a much wider view of images, and now I'm sort of, or not now, but I often go very, very tight into a wave or into a, just the tide coming in. So yes, I think I have done that. Yeah.
And how do you find the journey into professional photography? Is it been a positive and rewarding experience as you kind of develop and find new ways to innovate your work?
Oh, completely. I've absolutely loved the journey. I think, when you're learning something new every day, and not quite so much now, but certainly when I first took it on in 2020, every day I was learning something new, and there's something extremely exhilarating about that, and life affirming about sort of having new information every day. So yeah, I've loved the journey, and I also I really like every aspect of photography. I love being in the field. I mean, that is obviously the best part, but I also I actually enjoy editing as well, and particularly with the multiple exposures, and yeah, and then of course the printing.
Yes, so important.
It's so important, and that really changed my view when I bought a printer, because you see your work printed out, and it is so different from being on screen.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you find you were printing your work out for when you were beginning to look at sequencing? I'm always interested just to see how people kind of approach it. Some people like to do it all digitally. I personally like to print out contact sheets and chop them all up and put them on a mat and leave them for about 3 months before I begin to look at them and things like that. But it's always interesting just to see how people kind of work with their own images, because I think when you can really spend an infinite amount of time looking at your own work and moving images one around at a time, and does it really make much of a difference? It might do, it might not.
Yeah, I did do it all digitally, actually. I
Right,
mean,
yep.
I had printed out every image that was in the book. Obviously, it had been printed at some point, but I didn't use the prints to sequence it. I would say, because Greg was very much involved in the sequencing as well at Hozu. So no, it was all done digitally. I had previously, some time ago, I'd been commissioned to produce a book, actually, for a friend who wanted a book on the Cotswolds, and they were leaving the area, and she wanted to give it to her husband as a gift. And so I used Blurb. Do you know Blurb?
Yes, no blob,
So I was familiar with their software. So I was using that to help me sequence.
Sequencing,
Yeah. And then Greg was doing his end, and then we'd have a conversation, and yeah.
see who agreed and see who won on the choice
Absolutely.
on the choice images that I want this one in. I don't want that one in. I want this one in. And
It,
I suppose,
there was a bit of that.
yeah, that's it. Well, I think everyone looks at, and the thing is, you will have such an emotional connection and personal connection to the images, whereas everyone else who picks up the book doesn't have that same connection. Now, they can perhaps, and most will then kind of take themselves into those sorts of locations and those scenarios, and it will remind them of certain things, but it will never kind of replicate the your memories of motion, either camera or either yourself or subject matter, through the grasses or amongst the trees. And I think that's what's always nice about photography, and everyone can see something different inside each and every image.
Absolutely, and that's actually one of the reasons why I like the slightly more abstract, maybe even ethereal work that I do, because I think every viewer brings their own perspective on it, and I love the way people see and interpret
Absolutely.
my work, and I think particularly abstract-ish work. I mean, I know mine's not, totally abstract, but it's, there are abstractions,
Yes.
and yeah, I think, as you say, people do interpret it different, and we all bring, our own life's experiences to A, what we produce, and B, what we absorb, what we look at.
Well, that's it. As you say, everyone can remember back to when they first picked up a camera or travels that they've been on. And I'd be interested whether do you think any of your involvement in the film industry has influenced it at all in any shape or form whatsoever, or was that very different, I suppose, to kind of your approach now?
I think I would say more. I mean, yes, it has, to the extent that I've always been surrounded by creative people
Yes.
and by creative work, and obviously I'm interested in cinematography, and but I think really I feel that my broader life experiences, so my interest in dance, my
Yes.
interest in art, my interest obviously in nature. I think it's a combination
Of those.
of influences that has brought me to where I am now. And yeah, I think that's the same for many people,
I'd
is that
agree, yeah. Yeah.
you can't necessarily pinpoint one thing. I think it's the sum of all the parts,
Yeah,
really.
that's it. And it's a sequence of events, and you could find things that happen in the coming years then begin to influence different directions, as you'll have seen yourself from kind of the work that you've done over the last 3 or 4 years. I'm sure that will therefore influence, as it does everyone, a direction or a particular direction that someone takes going forward, which I
Yeah.
think is always nice as things continue to evolve and never feel stale, and you continue to try and find new subject matter or new topics that kind of keep it fresh and keep it more
Absolutely.
keep it interesting, and how can you kind of apply your style to something different that you didn't think worked, but actually when you manage to pull off there's quite a satisfaction to it.
There's a huge satisfaction when you pull it off. It's wonderful.
Particularly when it's something you're really wanting to shoot for your own style, but yeah, quite often it can be the challenge of how do you process it, or how do you get it to work? And as you say, when it just clicks, you think, yes, bingo.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that a little bit with my Zen Nature collection. That sort of has just worked really well for me, and I'm very, very happy with it. And it's really just been, as you say, a developmental process.
Yeah, that's it. And
And
yeah, well,
going back to your influences, I know very much that my dance background has influenced my photography a lot, and it's influenced the movement, and I'm attracted to the lyricism of an image. So I know that that's had a big influence on how I approach my work.
Yeah, well, I've always been a big admirer of your work. I really enjoy seeing it, and ICM and, or as I would class it, unintentional camera movement and multiple exposures. It's not something I personally do myself, but then again, I don't shoot people or anything that moves either. But at the same time, I never think about how someone accomplishes it, because I wouldn't get anything else done trying to work out how these things are done. But I love it, and it's for me. There's a beautiful painterly feel, a really artistic feel to it, which for me, I really enjoy and seeing in other people's photography and other work, because it just brings a different dimension and a kind of a different perspective and a different influence on me in my own work, albeit it's not anywhere near a similar sort of style.
Yes, well, thank you very much. And I think I feel like that about black and white work. I'm not doing it at the moment, although I do, as I say, I do feel I'm going to, it won't be
Dip your
long
toe in.
before I, yeah. But I absolutely love to look at other people's black and white work.
It's obviously. And on that note, I'm always interested to know kind of some of my guests' favorite photo books that they have
Yeah.
on their own bookshelf. One, to see how they compare to the work that they photograph themselves. Obviously, you've just mentioned that you've got a couple of black and white books in the collection, and you don't do very much black and white. But quite often, it can be someone's first photo book that they've picked up, or the first memory someone's got. So, I'm interested for your selection, Sally.
Well, my first one here is one that influenced me way back in the 80s, and it's Man Ray.
Oh, yeah.
You know Man Ray?
I know, yeah.
So Man Ray was an American artist and photographer. I think he was born in the 1890s. And he was involved in the Dada and Surrealist movements. And he was known for his, innovative techniques, particularly photograms and solarization, all of which I experimented
Yes,
with all those years ago. And this particular book is, I guess it's a collection of some of his most iconic imagery. And a lot of it is a lot of abstractions, and there's it's all black and white, obviously. And a lot of it is very surrealistic because of the movements he was involved in. But it was a very influential book for me. So I thought it has to be
Has
in.
to be one of the choice. Good starter.
So then my next one is Chris Killip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know Chris?
I do, yeah. I've got the book as well.
Oh, what a astonishing book, astounding book. So yes, for anyone who doesn't know, he's a British photographer who captures gosh, the real raw side of working class life in the UK, particularly in the sort of 70s and 80s. And it's all black and white, really powerful imagery, showing the real harsh realities of economic decline. But I think what I love most about it is that there's an incredible, hu deeply human element to it. And you feel like he really had empathy with the people that he photographed. And, he you look at the images and there's so much struggle and hardship, but there's so much dignity in these people's.
I always feel as though he had a connection with who he was photographing and what he was photographing, as opposed to just being kind of like a documentary photographer and taking the pictures.
100%, 100%. I find it a really moving book, and I think it's a really important book as well, because it's a period of time that could be forgotten, and once you've seen these images, you never forget them.
That's it. And it wasn't all that long ago that
No.
that's when you look
Well,
back and you look
when
at
I was doing my, my experimenting,
that's
so.
it. Yeah, it's like Glasgow. You've got Oscar Mazzaroli, who did similar work around the Gorbals area, which was very, very deprived area. And I was back in the 60s and 70s as well, and it's not that you forget that it's not all that long ago.
No, fabulous book, absolutely fabulous. So then my
Not much ICM or multiple exposures in either of
no, and
it.
you'll find that it will continue that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, anyway, my next one is Ka Harry Callahan.
Oh, right. Okay.
Know
Don't
him?
know. Nope.
Oh, okay. Harry Callahan is another experimental photographer. You see, I think, yeah, a lot of my I'm attracted to experimental work.
Yep.
He's another experimental photographer of his time. When was he? He was sort of, well, that's 1972. And his work is quite varied. Sort of both urban street scenes and nature shots. But his work always has an emotional depth to it. And as I say, it's all black and white again. Is it all? Yeah, all black and white. Oh, no, that's not strictly true. There's colour. There is colour in it, yeah.
Not much by the sound of it.
Yeah, I love the way he experimented. He experimented with multiple exposures, an early he was an early innovator.
Adapter.
Yeah. And his work is beautiful, and I would recommend anyone who doesn't know Harry Callahan to seek him out, seek his work out. Yeah, it's really beautiful work.
I will definitely take a look.
Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, cool.
Number four, and I'm sure everyone will know this, Vivian Maier.
Yep.
So Vivian Maier was an incredible street photographer whose work only actually came to light after her death, when a huge collection of photos were found in a storage locker. And for most of her life, she was a nanny, but she'd go out in her spare time onto the streets of New York and Chicago and capture the most wonderful, candid moments of everyday life. And it's remarkable work. Her observational skills were extraordinary. And she just captured, moments, these
Yeah.
small moments that just are wonderful. So I would recommend her work. And she also took self-portraits,
Oh,
and
cool.
she was very playful with them. She her self-portraits would be a reflection in a shop window or in a mirror, or
Yep.
never
Yeah.
direct self-portraits. They were very creative and very playful.
Very good.
Work is fantastic if you don't know it again. And then my last and final one is a much more recent one, Joe Stevens, and this is
Yes.
a Pozu book.
Yep.
Joe she photographs around around where she lives in Dorset, and it's all well, I say landscape. I don't know whether it is landscape, but it's all multiple
Sure.
exposures.
Yeah.
And I really love her work. It really
Yeah,
resonates with
it's really nice. It's a beautiful book as well. I
me. It is,
enjoy
isn't it?
I always enjoy seeing what Joe produces, much like yourself as well, Sally. I really enjoy just seeing other people's work. I find it really inspirational and just and something different to see it from what I photograph and shoot myself.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, I work with multiple exposures, but her work is a step above. It's fantastic, and she's quite prolific as well. You know,
Yes.
she a lot of work. So yes, that's my fifth.
Brilliant. Fantastic, fantastic collection. And lovely to see a different variety because I quite often hear similar names being mentioned, but people will share different books for different reasons and things like
Yeah.
that. So it's quite nice just to kind of see how your, I suppose, your artistic influences have come through as well, and your art interests as well, because it just shows how kind of what you think of 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, how that's still influential in what you do and how you work now. It never kind
Yeah.
of goes.
No, it does never go. I mean, the fact that I've got Man Ray in there, absolutely, and it just continues. With the experience you have.
Yeah, that's it. And I look forward to seeing how your work and your new projects kind of develop and kick on, and to see when you bring another body of work into print in whatever shape or form that is, because I'm sure you will do at some point. But on that note, Sally, I just want to say thank you very much for your time. It has genuinely been a real pleasure chatting to you tonight about your work. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, for talking to me. I've really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Cheers.